I want you to turn in your Bibles today to the book of Psalm, Psalm chapter 139. Psalm chapter 139. I'm always very thankful when I have the opportunity to stand and preach the Word of God. This morning I taught Conqueror Sunday School class. And man, we had a great time in there in the book of John about following the shepherd, following the Lord. Today, we're going to be preaching here in the service here. And then at 1:30, I get to preach again over at the nursing home over at Atlee Hill. And I want you to be praying for the folks there. Amen. And we'll have a great day of services and that God will just bless there as well. All right. Have you found your place yet? Psalm chapter number 139. We're going to begin in verse number 1. The psalmist writes here, and he said, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but two, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light unto me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. I'm going to stop there at verse number 17. And I want us to look at a message today. I'm going to be just talking to you today from my heart. I want to share something with you today. I know there are times when we simply do not understand God's plans for our lives. We don't understand it. And there are times when we don't understand that we actually are tempted to question the Lord and ask, Dear God, why do you have me where I am today? Why am I in this situation today? And it's during those times that we must come to trust the Lord when we do not yet fully or even partially understand. Through the years, I have come to learn that I can truly trust the Lord in whatever situation I'm in. Now, that's not always been easy, but I've learned to trust Him in all the situations. And you know, He approves those situations for me to be in. There's nothing that happens without His approval in my life, in your life today. And God wants us to understand that there are situations that He puts us through that He might be able to help us to be what He wants us to be for His honor and for His glory. Now, we don't always understand that. I've learned through different stories and lives of some of the people in the Bible, and they have become heroes of my faith. There are many men And there are even some ladies in the Bible that are heroes to me. And I look at these stories about them and I think about what God did with them and all that they went through. And yet, they kept their eyes on the one who had a plan for their lives. They trusted the Lord God. And today I want to share the stories of five young men. Five young men, just to illustrate the point that I believe the Lord would have me to share with you today through this particular message this morning. I want to share with you, first of all, the story of a young man, my hero, one of my heroes in the Bible, a young man named Joseph. He's one of my heroes of the faith. I want to also share the story of another one of my heroes of the faith, and you know the story, and it's the story of Daniel. Daniel. Everybody knows the story about Daniel. And then lastly, I want to share with you the story of three of Daniel's friends. Okay? And their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I want to show you today how that each of these young men, how that each of these young men, while facing the fierce trials of their faith in God, while they faced the trials and they faced the persecutions and they faced the burdens and the weightiness that was upon their hearts, they were able to find the answer to the question that I want to ask each of you here this morning. And here's the question I want to ask you this morning. Why does God have me here? Why does God have me here? Many times we ask that question and we're thinking to ourselves, Lord, I just don't understand. I can't figure this thing out, Lord. What are you doing in my life? Why am I having to go through this? Or what is this situation ever? How is this going to bring glory and honor to you, Lord? Lord, why do you have me here? I want to share some things with you today, three things, and I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you, all right? Let's pray first and ask God to help with this. Father, Lord, you know my heart this morning. Lord, you know I love you. And Lord, I'm able to love you today because you first loved me and you gave yourself for me. And Lord, I want to be a help to your people today. And Lord, I know that the Word of God can be that strength that they need to have. Now, Father, I don't know all the folks that are here today. I don't know whether they're all saved or there may be somebody here that's lost and never been saved. But Father, I pray that whatever the situation may be, whatever the heartaches may be today in a person's heart and their life, Lord, I pray, God, that you'll use the words that I speak today to help encourage that heart. And Lord, whatever the situation may be, help them, God, to see that they can place their faith and trust in you because, God, you have a perfect plan for each person's life. Lord, please, use the Word of God today to speak to our hearts. Help me, Lord, to be obedient to what you'd have me to say. And Father, we'll sure thank you for what you do. I love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to share with you three things today about this question. Why does God have me here? Sometimes I question that, don't you? Lord, why did you ever even let me be born? Job questioned that fact when he went through so many trials and heartaches. But Lord, why do you have me here? Number one, I want you to see through the story of Joseph. I want you to see today a story about a young man that was hated by his own flesh and blood brothers. He was despised by them, hated by them. As a matter of fact, they eventually came to the point where they wanted to kill him. They threw him in a pit and said, we're going to kill him. And we're going to send back his beautiful robe that his daddy has made for him because he's his favorite child. And we're going to tell our dad a lie that some animal got him. And he's gone. We'll be rid of that dreamer. Well, we'll be rid of him. The story of Joseph is one that speaks to my heart, because Joseph was put into slavery and eventually cast into prison, but he kept his heart right with God. And you know what? I need to know that. You know what? Each of us today need to understand that no matter what situation we are in, we need to be able to trust the Lord enough so that we can keep our heart right with God. Because there are others that are watching us. There are others watching us. The story of Joseph, it tells us several things. And yet Joseph discovered that God had a plan for his life. Now, if anyone would have told me as a little boy that one day you're going to be a preacher, and one day you're going to leave out of the great southern state of North Carolina, and God's going to move you up near Yankeeville, okay? I'm not there. I'm still below the Mason-Dixon line, amen? But he's going to move you into a land that you know not of. I'd have thought they were crazy to think that. I'd have thought they were crazy. But you know what? God had a plan. And when I look at Joseph's life, I realize that all that he went through with his family, with the hurt, with the heartache, with all the things that came his way, God was using all of those things to bring his plan all together. Not only in the life of Joseph, but also in the lives of the people around him, so that God could do something that no one else could ever do. God had a plan for Joseph. Now I want you to turn over to the book of Genesis just a moment, the very first book in the Bible, the Old Testament book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 45. I don't have time to read the whole story about Joseph. If you get the opportunity, man, you ought to read this story. It covers several chapters in the book of Genesis. But in Genesis chapter number 45 here today, I want us to start in verse number 4. And this is after everything Joseph's gone through. He's gone through, at an age of 17, he was on a trip to go find his brothers. His father said, I don't know where your brothers are. You need to go see how they're doing. I want you to take them some food and some beverage. Go check on them and then come back and give me a good report about what's happening with them. Let me know what's happening with them. So he sends Joseph out in his beautiful coat of many colors that his father made for him. And when his brothers see him, you know the story. They see him. Here comes that dreamer. Joseph had been dreaming dreams and he didn't understand them. His parents didn't understand them. His brothers sure didn't understand. And they thought, well, we're never going to bow down and worship you, old boy. You think we're going to worship you. You got another thing coming. And Joseph said, well, I'm just telling you what I dreamed. And he's got something going on in these dreams. I don't understand it. But this is what God said. And they hated him. They despised him. You know how they went to kill him. They threw him in a pit. And then they saw the travelers coming along, the Midianites all came around, and all the different ones came around. I think the Ishmaelites came. They sold their brother for 20 pieces of silver, okay? Now, my brother and I, he's younger than I am. I never thought about anything like that, but, man, I never thought about selling my brother. I never did think about anything like that. May not have been able to get much for him, but, you know, he didn't matter. But they hated him so much, they wanted to sell him. And they made a profit on it. He gets sold to the travelers going through. They sell him to the Midianites. Then the Midianites sell him to a guard of the Pharaoh, Potiphar. And Potiphar puts him in charge of all the things around his house. And the Bible said that through all of those things that were going on, that the Lord was still with Joseph. And see, folks, this is what I want you to understand today. No matter what we go through in this life, no matter how hard the situation is, no matter what the situation is, God will never leave us. He's made a promise. He will not leave us nor forsake us for any reason. But when Joseph's going through this, he's 17 years old. He's a kid. 17 years old. And he goes through 13 years of heartache, false accusations. He gets thrown into prison and accused of doing something that he never did. And he couldn't get anybody to listen to him and to believe his story. But then God brings it all into fruition. And when God brings his plan together, he brought it together for a purpose. He brought it together for a purpose. I want you to look at it today. In Genesis chapter 45, beginning in verse number 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. Now this is when Pharaoh has exalted Joseph. Joseph gave the interpretation of the dream that Pharaoh had. It had been troubling him so bad. And Pharaoh saw that God was with Joseph, and Pharaoh made Joseph second in command, and Joseph only reported to one other person, and that was Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And now he's standing before his brethren. Joseph was 17 years old when they sold him into slavery. Probably a skinny, puny-looking little thing, okay? And now he's 30 years old, 13 years later. And he's standing before them in royal attire, probably with the Egyptian attire and hats and makeup and all that stuff they wore. And he's standing before them as a mighty ruler, and they don't recognize him, but he recognizes them. And he says here in verse number 4, the Bible said, Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. Look at this. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land. And yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he had made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down now unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. And thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nurture thee. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. You see, God had a plan for Joseph. And as you read all the things that Joseph went through, Joseph came to the point where he realized, listen, I don't need to be mad at my brothers. They didn't do this to me. God allowed this to happen to me for a purpose and a plan. And what was God's plan? We see here the plan of God. Number one, to preserve life and not destroy it. You see, God had made a promise way back to Abraham that if Abraham would follow him and do what he said do, that God would make of Abraham a great and mighty nation. And God would bless his seed, and that seed would bless all nations of the earth. And now what had the devil done? The devil had tried to destroy all that. The devil had tried to remove that promise from God ever being able to fulfill it. But God had a plan. Amen? And I want you to understand something today, folks. God has a plan for your life today as well. Now, we may not understand. We may not understand all that we have to go through and all the sicknesses or heartaches or persecutions and the trials that we have to go through. But I want you to understand something. God has a plan, and that plan is to preserve life and not to destroy it. But that plan is also to prove God's love and concern for each of us. You know what? God still loved Jacob and all those 75 family members that were there. There was a great famine in the land. And that famine was going to destroy everything. But what did God do? God said, Joseph, I'll tell you how to fix all this. And God gave out his plan to Joseph. And Pharaoh said, man, I've never seen anybody this wise. Man, I've never seen anybody like this filled with the wisdom of a God like the God of Joseph. And Pharaoh recognized that, put him in the right place at the right time, and he preserved life, and he proved God's love and concern for the people of God, who are yet just a small group of people. They were nothing, 75 people. But then we see that God's plan was to provide all that they needed in order to serve and to live for God. And folks, let me tell you something today. God's plan will provide for each of you, for me, everything that we need to have in order to live for him and to serve him as God desires for us to do. Amen. God's got a plan. We see that in the story of Joseph. But number two, we see it through the story of Daniel. In the story of Daniel. Turn over to the book of Daniel, chapter number one today. Daniel, chapter number one. Daniel is another one of my heroes. Man, I love the story of Daniel. And through the story of Daniel, we see a young man taken into captivity because of the sin of his own people. The people of God had chosen to rebel against God. They had chosen to reject the promises of God. Every time that God would bless them, they would turn away from God and turn into the things of the world. Boy, how many times do we see that today in our world? People turning away from God, falling away from God, choosing to do that which is not right instead of choosing to do that which is right and follow the Lord. And yet, Daniel knew that God and God alone, he came to find out that God had the power to both accomplish and fulfill his plan for his people. Now, folks, sometimes we think, God, could you really do this? Lord, can you really take care of my needs today? Man, my wife and I stand so many times amazed to see how God and his divine plan works out in our lives. He has supplied our needs. He has supplied everything we've ever needed. We have had to learn to live by faith. And you know what? That's not a bad thing. Somebody thinks, well, you got to be a pauper to live by faith. Not when you serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I remember my boss, when I told him that I was leaving the business that I was in, and we were going to serve the Lord and serve the Lord full time. And he said, but you're just going to be living from hand to mouth every day. And your family, my children were just small at that time, 1993. And I remember it. And he would come every morning and sit in my office and tell me, man, you're going to starve. You're not going to be able to make it. You think that little church is going to be able to pay you what we're paying you here today? You're just living from hand to mouth. And one day I'd had enough of him. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. He's going to come in here. I know he's going to say it. And when he said that again, I said, you know what? You are exactly right. I am going to be living from hand to mouth. But it's from God's hand to my little mouth. Amen. And his hand is able to supply all my needs. Amen. I never will forget the day that I left that place. The brakes had gone out on the van. Man, we had all kinds of problems going on. And I had a letter in the mail about this bill and that bill, and Lisa came to get me. And I'd had to work over. I was supposed to have left at 12 noon. I was still there after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And they kept having problems. They kept coming back. Well, you got to help us with this. You got to help us before you leave. You can't do this. She came to me. She said, have you been home to see the mail? I said, no, I've not been home to see the mail. I've not been anywhere. And she said, well, we got this in the mail, then you need to see it. And I said, if it's another bill, if it's another thing, I don't want to see it. I don't even want to hear about it. She said, no, you need to see this. And it was a letter from one of the companies that I did business with in this other company. And for a while, I worked as a purchasing agent there and purchased materials from this company. And this company, the owner, he was Catholic, and the family was Catholic. And I witnessed to him every time they came in. I tried to witness to him. He never would trust Christ as his Savior. But he had respect for me enough that when we went out to eat somewhere, he allowed me to pray before we ate. Okay? And then he did his little cross thing. Okay? But you know what? It didn't matter. I wanted to be a witness. And she gave me that letter. I opened it up. And they said in the letter, they were sad to see me leave. They hated I was leaving. They appreciated me so much doing business with them through the years. And they wanted to know. They'd heard that I was going into the ministry, and they knew it wasn't a whole lot of money in that. And they said, if you ever need us for anything, all you got to do is call us. And inside that letter was a check for $500. It was enough to fix the van. It was enough to get groceries and still have money left over on. And you know what? We were excited. And you know what I did? I went into my boss's office. I reached in my pocket. I took the keys. I laid them on the desk. And I said, I'm out of here. I just want you to know that God still supplies the needs for his children. He just looked at me and I said, bye. And I've never gone back. Amen. And you know what? We have lived by faith because we have known, we have seen how that God supplies the needs. Amen. Our God is powerful enough not only to accomplish his plan, but to fulfill that plan in our lives if we will just walk in faith. In Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 21, we see how that God has power and ability to accomplish all that he plans for you and for me. And you know what? God and God alone has the power to set his children apart from the world. When they told Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah that they're going to have to eat what the king gives them, and it was not kosher for them to do that. It was not what God said that they were allowed to eat and to drink. And you know what? They said, we can't do this. We can't do this. I can't do this. And you said in verse number 8, the Bible said that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Well, you know what? We need some children of God today to purpose in their heart to say, I'm not going to defile myself with the things of this old world. I'm not going to be convinced by the world to live like the world in order to be friends with the world. And Daniel said, you know what? My God has the power to see me through this thing. But I've got to choose to live for him. And folks, when we choose to do what God says do, God has all the power to make sure that we come out on the right side. Amen. He has the power. God and God alone has the power to speak peace in the midst of the storm in our life. You know what? I don't see anywhere in here where Daniel fretted and worried about this thing. He trusted God. He trusted God. Why? Because he knew that God had the power to accomplish his plan in his life. And you know what else I see here? It is God and God alone that has the power to see you and me through and to prove to this world that he alone is God. These folks had all kinds of gods. They had all kinds of things that they were worshiping and depending on. But you know what the world needs to see today? They need to see the reality of the one true and living God living in your life, living in my life today. And God has the power to see us through. Amen. He has the power to see us through. But then I also see this through the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I see that God not only has a plan, and that God not only has a plan, but he has the power to fulfill that plan, to accomplish that plan in our lives, but he also has a promise that he can only provide to those who are willing to go through the fire and go through the trials, and they're willing to go through the temptations that have been set before them. Now, nobody likes to go through fiery trials. Nobody likes to go through persecution. Nobody likes to go through the hard times. But through the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we see three young men who were punished for doing that which was right when the world around them, they were actually the ones that were doing wrong. The world said, oh, this is the way we need to do things. And we'll be right with the king. We'll be right with the leaders. And these men said, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. I'd rather have the Lord God. I'd rather stay true and faithful to God. And folks, you and I are going to be tempted. We're going to be tried to turn away our eyes from the Lord God and go and serve the world, fulfill the desires that they have for us. But we're going to have to make some choices. And in Daniel chapter 3, you look in Daniel chapter number 3, verses 1 through 30, we come here to see how that God not only had a plan, and he not only has the power to fulfill that plan, but he also had a promise that he could provide to those who were willing to trust him and just simply go through the fire. You know what? When I see this story, I see something that amazes me. And it's this fact. We never go through the fiery trials without the Savior being with us. Amen? He was with them. He went with them in the midst of that burning fiery furnace. In this story, we see God's promise to provide the strength and the boldness to stand for him in the hour of distress and indecision. You know the story. Nebuchadnezzar built a great image of himself, set it out in the plains, and he wanted everybody to come out and, when they played their music, to bow down and worship that image. But if you didn't, they had a burning fiery furnace there, and he was going to make a spectacle of those folks. And he was going to cast them into the midst of that burning fiery furnace so that in fear, the people would serve him. That's what it ended up being. These men stood up and said, no, we're not doing that. Now, out of all the thousands of Jewish young people that came out and were captured and taken into Babylon, three stood up and said, no, we can't do that. You know what? The first thing you think about is that makes us as Christians a minority. But let me tell you something. A minority of people on the right side with God is a majority anytime in this world. Amen? And these people didn't understand. Oh, man, you're not going to fall down and worship the image? Nebuchadnezzar said, listen, I'm going to give you another chance, boys. We're going to play the music one more time. And their co-workers stood around them and watched them. Said, let's see if they'll falter. Let's see if they'll fail. Let's see if they'll fall down on their face and worship this true image. Let's see if their God really is real. You see, they wanted them to fall so that they could feel justified living the way they did. And folks, let me tell you something. That's the way the world wants to do with you today. They want you to fall. They want you to bow down and worship the images today. But we have to make a decision. Who are we going to serve? Why are we going to serve Him? Where are we going to find the strength to be able to stand for God when everybody else around us is not standing for God? Where are we going to find that? We're going to find it in the promises that God makes in His Word. Amen? And I want you to look at what the Bible said. The Bible said here in Daniel chapter number 3 that when Nebuchadnezzar spoke these words, in verse number 16, the Bible said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful or we're not worried how to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And boy, I bet that stirred his heart up. I bet that got the king upset. The king said, I'm invincible. I'm the king. You can't get away from me. They said, oh, our God's able to get us out of your hand too, O king. And as his temperature is boiling and his blood pressure is rising, they didn't stop with that. Look at verse number 18. They said, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said? No plan B. Amen? The only plan we have is to stand true to the promises of our God. And our God is able not only to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace, but He's able to deliver us out of your hand as well. And you know the story. The king was enraged. And he said, you heat that oven up 7 times hotter than it's ever been made to be heated. And even the guards which cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into that burning fiery furnace, the guards died. They were burned up with it. They died. But it's in this story that we see God's promise to prove Himself able to deliver His children both from the furnace as well as from the fiends that were searching to do away with them. You see, all the devil wants to do, folks, is to get you to compromise. He wants to get us to compromise our convictions and focus our lives on preferences. I prefer not to suffer. Well, I do too. I don't want to suffer. But you know what? Sometimes convictions bring some suffering. And there are times when we have to make up our heart and our soul and our mind of what we're going to do for God. And one of those things is called trusting Him. What we try to do, we try to come up with a plan B. Well, if this doesn't work, then we'll do this. And if that doesn't work, then we'll do this. And if that doesn't work, we'll do this. And if none of those things work, then I don't know what we're going to do. That's what we think. And God just says, trust me. If you love me, trust me. Amen. And in this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we see God's promise to present himself as the true and the living God before the eyes of all those folks that did not know the true and living God. So I ask you today, why does God have you where he has you? Let me tell you why God's got you where he's got you. Because he's got a plan for your life. And he wants you to see that he has not only the power and the ability to accomplish that plan, but he wants to fulfill that plan. He wants to allow you to run your race so that when you stand before him one day in heaven, you can hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And he seals it all off with the promise of his word, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." These young men said, "O king, I know you're able to throw us in that fiery furnace, but our God's big enough to take care of us. He's big enough to deliver us. But if he has us have to go through the fire," I'm going to tell you this right now, as we go through the fire, we're not going to dip our sails, amen? We're not going to compromise. We're not going to quit. We're not going to bow down and worship you or any golden image just for the convenience of getting out of the fire. We're going to see the promises of God fulfilled in our lives. Now, let me ask you today, when you sit there and you ask yourself, "God, why have you got me going through this? Lord, why am I having to go through all these situations?" You need to drop your anchor in the Word of God. Amen? And you need to look and see what God, the plan that God has for your life. You say, "But preacher, I don't understand what the plan is." Trust him. Amen? Trust him. And know that God has a plan for your life. You may be sitting in here today and you say, "Well, I don't even know this God that you're talking about. I'm not a Christian." Well, you know what? God's got a plan for you too. And the Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all, including you, might come to repentance. You see, God's will is for every person to be able to hear the message of the gospel and to make the choice to trust him as their Savior. God wants you to be saved. But the question is, will you choose to accept him or will you choose to reject him? And that's where it all lies. God allows you to make that choice. And child of God, let me tell you this. He allows us to make some choices too. When we get saved, okay, we're not to live as disobedient children as we were before we were saved, but we're now to live as what? As obedient children. Why? Because we love him enough to obey him. We want our children to love us enough to obey us, right? We want them to listen to our word, to obey our word. Shouldn't God expect the same thing from his children? And we need to understand that God not only has a plan for our life, but God has the power and the ability to accomplish that plan if we will simply trust him enough to obey him and do what he says do as one of his dear children. And then lastly, you need to remember, God's got a promise that he will see you through. He will see you through. And you know what? If you have to go through the fiery furnace, and if you have to go through the flames, you know what? He's going to be right there with you. What did that king say? The king Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, verse 24, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king, we did it. Boy, we got rid of them." king answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. When we allow the promises of God to control our decisions and what we do, then even in the midst of the fire, the world sees Christ with us. And that's what we want today. Child of God, I don't know where you're at as far as living for God or serving Him. I don't know what you may be having to go through today in your own personal life, but I'm here to tell you, God's got a plan. Amen. God's got a plan for you. He's got the power to accomplish that plan, and He's given us promises today to see us through all the way to the end if we'll simply trust Him. And if you're here today and you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, and you're sitting there crying about the situation you're in and weeping about all this and worried about what's going to happen to you, listen to me. The most important thing you need to understand is that God loves you. God has a plan for you. God wants you to be saved. And He wants to show you what He can do with you and through you in a life that has been surrendered unto Him. And today you can come to know Christ as your own personal Savior. But you have to make that choice. You have to choose. What will your choice be? Why am I here today? Because God's got a plan. God's got power. And God's got a promise. And it's all for you. Let's bow our heads just a moment as we stand. I want us to stand today. Pastor Young's going to come and lead us in a song. I have no clue what the song is going to be. 235. But as he comes today to lead us in this song, if God is speaking in your heart today, why don't you just come and surrender to him today? God's got a plan for you, folks. He's got the power to accomplish that plan. He's got a promise to help see you through. Will you come and just trust him today? And if you're here lost today, you don't know Christ as your Savior, listen, we'll have someone take the Word of God and show you how that you can be born again today. But you've got to make that decision.